having broken the flower-tipped arrows of Mara. The flower-tipped arrows of Mara. Mara, again, you remember what we said about Mara being the great obstructor of the spiritual life. Well, Mara is also takes the form of Karma Deva. That's not Karma Deva with an R, it's Karma, K-A-M-A. Karma meaning sensual desire, or even passion. So he's the god of sensual desire, the god of passion, the god of love. Karma Deva is the Indian Eros. And of course he has a flower-tipped, he has a flowery bow and arrow and flower-tipped arrows. And Mara often manifests in this form. He loves this form, it's very, very effective indeed. You're about to break through to that other great stage of liberation, things are really opening up, and what happens? You are struck by the flowery-tipped arrow of Mara, of Karma Deva, right into the centre of the heart. You're completely wounded. It might be, you know, you completely lose it, getting completely infatuated with someone. It might just be, you know, you're on the edge of getting into dhyana and suddenly you're overwhelmed with lust, powerful sexual craving. Whatever it is, he's very, very clever, very, very artful. This is so effective, such a good way of actually getting people, holding people down and not allowing them to break through, because we completely believe in it. You know, when we, you know, when we fall in love, it is so meaningful. You know, the world moves, everything shifts, and so on and so forth. Karma Deva has struck. This could be discussed, but we don't have any discussion groups tomorrow. Let you reflect on it. But when you see everything as like froth, as like a mirage, including beautiful people, the flower-tipped arrows are broken. You can't be caught and ensnared at all. And it doesn't mean that there's no passion. I mean, the Pali scriptures are very reticent about what opens up when the flower-tipped arrows of Mara are broken. But later Buddhist tradition like to sort of fill the space. They don't just speak of renunciation and the space, which is probably much safer not to try and fill it in a certain, from a certain point of view. But you, according to the Tantra, Vajrayana Buddhism, Tantric Buddhism, actually a new passion arises. Okay, you don't have that sensual desire, that sensual passion, that, you know, that desire to hold someone to you forever. What you have is Maharaga, the great passion. Raga is passion. Maha is great. Maharaga, the passion that arises out of emptiness, that arises out of seeing the mirage nature of things. And this passion is called bodhicitta. The urge, the will to enlightenment for the benefit of all beings is very, very powerful, surging loving kindness and compassion for all beings, pouring out of emptiness. And yes, you do see the mirage nature of everybody and yourself, but you see all that with love, with a very, very powerful love, which doesn't ensnare you and doesn't ensnare other people, but which leads to their uplift, their liberation. And there's even in Tantric Buddhism a deity, an archetype, which embodies this Maharaga, very interesting form. There's a female deity named Kurukula, which is a name which doesn't really have any meaning, Kurukula. And she's a red dancing goddess. Darkini, as she's called, a sky-going goddess, and she's this wonderful ruby red colour, and she has four arms, and the top two arms are holding a flowery bow and arrow. She's got all the gear of Karma Deva, of the god of love, the goddess of love in this case, red flowery bow and arrow, and she's also holding a kind of goad, like an elephant's hook, a goad that you'd use on elephants, and in the other hand a noose, and she's dancing and she's naked and she's wearing lots of flowery garlands and her hair's all dishevelled and she's got flowers in her hair. She's also wearing sort of, you know, bone ornaments and things like that. She's enveloped in flame. And what she embodies in particular is this Maharaga, this great passion, but in a special form, the form of fascinating people, fascinating them with the Dharma, drawing them into the Dharma. So her arrows go to the hearts of living beings so that they are turned on by the Dharma. And then she draws them in with her noose and her hook so that they take up the spiritual life. So here you have an image of, as it were, Eros transformed into the activity of a Bodhisattva.